I'm very pleased to have with me on the phone cantor Yanky Lemmer. Many of you know my fondness for Yanky. Shalom, Yanky. How are you?
Shalom, Charlie. I'm fine.
Okay, mazel tov on the birth of Miri.
Yes, a new baby girl. Thank you so much.
Yes. Well, I've been doing interviews of all the famous cantors of this generation, and you're up there, and I'd like you to start with just telling us where you were born and raised.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for holding me in this regard. So I was born in Borough Park, a shtetl in Brooklyn, New York, and I was also raised there. And, born and raised, and still I am Hasidish, which is the direction of most Chazonim, where most Chazonim come from nowadays.
Uh-huh.
Which is actually an interesting thing to ponder. I mean, back in the day, all in the Golden Age, most Chazanim were not Frum, really, with the exception of Rosenblatt, Shor, and some others. And nowadays, this is the art that that Hasidim can relate to. It's an interesting thing to ponder.
Well, this may be just a bit of a digression, but last week I went to Westside Institutional where I heard some young cantors, and they're from the Council of Chabad Chazonim. And I'm going to be doing an interview on this with Babinette, who is the voice teacher. I am so excited because the idea that if Chabad really gets behind this, it could be a game changer.
Well, I wouldn't go that far as saying that it's going to be a game changer in the realm of Chazanis as a whole, but it's nice. It's always nice to see young Chazanim, and especially when it has some backing of a Hasidic body behind it. But I don't think it's an initiative of Chabad. It's just a couple of people from Chabad who happen to live in Crown Heights in one area that got together. I know David Babinet very well. He used to be a baritone in the LA Opera, I think.
Uh-huh.
It's an exciting project.
Okay, indeed. We'll see where it goes. It could be revolutionary, or revolutions sometimes make it, sometimes they don't. But okay, so you were raised in a Hasidic home. Is there a particular group?
Yep, Bells. I went to Bells Cheder and Bells Yeshiva in Israel.
Oh, how long were you in Israel?
I was in Israel for 4 years.
Uh-huh. And you've gone on for other secular education, I understand.
Yeah, after I finished in Israel, I had a short stint in Lakewood, New Jersey, in the Beis Medrash Gevoah. Then I... sort of as a hobby, still as a bocher, I went to Bell School of Jewish Music for, the division of YU to learn some Chazonis by Bernie Beer and Chazon Halavani. And after that, after I got married, I enrolled in Touro, where I got my master's for special education, which is what I do today.
Wow, that's quite a calling, very interesting. So how did your interest in Chazanis develop?
Well, I've said this many times, and it warms my heart to say it, especially to you. 89.5 FM, Sunday evenings. That was the holiest time in the Lemmer household. Yep, the Charlie Burnout Show. My father would turn it on in the dining room, and nobody would come in and disturb him. This was 2 hours of Jewish Soul that Charlie, you ran. And first hour usually was more like Hasidic music, pop. Mm-hmm. There was Kalbach. There was all types of, sometimes an interview. And the second hour was purely Chazonis, and it was lovely. I really, really got a strong appreciation to Chazanis from there.
I'm very proud of that. You have no idea. It's so great. It was so great. Your first regular job was where?
Well, my first jobs, in plural, were
jobs.
Just a high holiday.
Uh-huh.
Like Yom Neroim. So I did, the first one was in Fort Lee. Well, I went through the regular, you know, I went through the motions, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
I called Eddie Smith. Well, I was in the choir at Bethel with Cynthia Miller. I learned a ton over there. That was really, you know, being Shabbos after Shabbos, or Shabbos Mevorchim after Shabbos Mevorchim, or Yontov after Yontov with a Chazan who has experience, and prepping with the choir, there's no price to be put on that. You can take 10 classes, and you're not going to learn as much as actually backing up an experienced chazan.
Uh-huh.
So after that,
by the way, Young Israel Bethel has been having a lot of guest chazanim, and I understand the choir, Shimi's choir, just keeps getting better and better.
Yep, agreed, 100%. I know. Yep. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh yeah, so I was in the choir.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben Sion, at one of the concerts that they ran, Ben Sion Miller, who I like to call my Rebbe, I learned so much from him, he gave me a forum, you know. He said, okay, Yanki, you want to do one solo as a guest appearance? And that's what I did. And that piece went up on YouTube, and that was the catapult, really, for you know, my presence in the Chazanist world.
Fantastic.
But after that, I went through the motions. You know, I called Eddie Smith for placement. He got me a job in Fort Lee, New Jersey, the Young Israel. The next year afterwards, somebody approached me for New Rochelle. And New Rochelle was not just high holidays. It was high holidays and X amount of Shabbatot.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I went to Englewood, New Jersey, which was an even more established position. And now I'm in Lincoln Square, which hopefully will go for many, many more years.
Well, it's so gratifying to see that the shul recognized your talent and stepped up to the plate, because I remember the process that they went through. So many people tried out for the job, and of course I and quite a few other fans of yours were rooting for you, but I think it was quite a dramatic thing that they chose a chassid from Borough Park.
Yeah, that was kind of the elephant in the room. That was, but Baruch Hashem, it's really a beautiful shidduch, and I love davening there, and I hope that they like what I'm doing there.
Well, they obviously do, and the feedback is certainly only the best, and I know Sherwood Goffin is it's great to be able to share that with Sherwood.
He's wonderful. He's just one of those people that, you know, his stellar character would never, you know, I would never, and I never could have asked for anyone better to work with.
Well, I you can see the respect that he has for you. I take great pleasure in watching both of you at services. Although he is a lot in Baltimore, so you're set for the next year or so at Lincoln Square.
Yep.
Okay, because you know, rumors abound. Somebody the other day said to me, "Oh, I hear Yanki is leaving." I said, "What?"
You know,
it's amazing. It's amazing. So, I know you do an enormous amount of traveling in Europe and Israel. I guess it's exciting to get out there.
It is. But don't forget, I also have a real job. This is more of a calling.
Uh-huh.
My real job is special ed, so now I don't really travel that much, especially that weekends are taken with the shul.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't travel that much anymore, but yeah, I definitely do get around, especially in the summer when I'm off. So, yeah.
You were recently in Poland, weren't you?
Yep, I just did two shows in Poland. One as part of the Chazonis concert, you know, just a regular Chazonis concert with some other Chazonim from Israel. Oh, actually, Uschi Blumenberg was also there.
Mm-hmm.
This was produced by Yossi Natkowitz, Hallelujah Productions, and it was part of the Jewish Culture Festival. This is like the opening concert. They have Chazonis. They want to have like a real old school cultural thing to open the festival. So they started with Chazonis. Then a couple of days later, I did a concert there with Frank London. And that's a different project completely. It's a project where we try to demonstrate the influences, the various influences of European music styles that influence Jewish music. So we'd have a nigun, we'd have a more Middle Eastern song to show, and then fusing them with Chazonis to show the connections between all these genres, how it influenced Jewish music as a whole.
Oh.
So it's a very interesting project, and we're constantly working on it to make it more homogenous and you know, as one solid show.
Is there a recording of it?
Yeah, there's a recording online. If you go to jewishfestival.pl and you follow the prompts, you can see the entire show. Uh-huh. Very interesting show.
Interesting. Well, I've said before when somebody approaches me, or I often get emails, a young fellow wants to become a chazan, and my standard response is, I don't know, you know, if you're a health god, that's one thing. But if you want to raise a family and have your kids go to yeshiva and have a home and so forth, I said, I suggest that you earn a living and let the chazanis be your calling, as you have stated. And I think that is the situation. There are just very few shuls that will hire for full time to make it worthwhile.
Well, yeah, that's a fair response. Granted that you're speaking to, you know, an Orthodox individual, you know, and then unorthodox world, conservative reform, that, you know, that's a whole different ballgame. Apparently they pay, apparently over there it is a career. Another thing is also taking into account how much one wants to travel. If someone's really good and they, you know, they can travel all the time, there's, you know, maybe you could make a living that way, but that's, you know, that's a lifestyle choice. I think the other question is also, where is Chazonis heading? And is it all about being Shliach Tzibur and, you know, just leading the davening? Is it all around, not just life cycle events, but also teaching bar mitzvahs and that kind of thing? You know, every shul has a different needs and different setup of clergy and staff. So it's really it's more of an individual decision that people should make when they consider this job, I think.
Yes, Chaim Adler, I interviewed him a couple of years ago, and he thought I was wrong. He said if a person has a burning desire to be a chazan, he'll find a way. I mean, but it sounded very optimistic. I hate being pessimistic, but the reality is it's not easy.
Yeah. Okay. Who said that earning a living is easy?
Okay.
By the sweat of your brow.
Okay. Any upcoming concerts that my audience should know about?
On Thursday, I'm leaving to LA for a private event, a 96-year-old birthday
really?
Party. Yeah. They're having a small little, Nati Baram will be there as well. They're having a small orchestra. That's a private event. On September 8th, we are doing the Upper West Side Chazanim, which is myself, Zevi Muller, and Chaim David. We're doing a pre-high holiday kumzit slash class. It's very interesting. We did it last year at my shul in Lincoln Square, and it was very well attended. We speak about the davening a little bit. We sing a little bit to get people in the mood of the Yom HaMirayim, and it's a really special event. The date is 90% locked in, so okay. I wouldn't put it on the calendar yet, but it's probably going to be September 8th at 8:30 p.m.
At the Jewish Center. Tuesday. It's a Tuesday night. Tuesday, September 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just a few days before Rosh Hashanah is Erev is the 13th. So
right.
Oh, great. I certainly look forward to seeing you there. And again, it will be with Zevi and with Chaim David and yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Any others?
I'm scheduled to down. Let me see. I wrote it down somewhere. I'm at the White Shul, Parshas Noach, which is October 16th. And that weekend, and on November 14th, Yaakov Motzen and myself will be doing a concert at Rinat in Teaneck.
Oh, really? Oh, great, great. That's Howie Gruenspecht.
Yeah. You know. There's some other things coming up, but just don't have my...
Okay, so, of course, I always request flyers or whatever so I can put it on the calendar. We got to...
Yeah, you have no idea how many comments I get from that. People call me all the time, oh, I saw on Charlie's calendar.
Oh, okay, I'm glad people... Well, look, it's a dedicated group, you know. It's those who love it really love it, you know. There's no in between people.
Yeah, there's no fan and diehard fan. Every fan is a diehard fan.
That's it. And an expert too. They're all Mevinim.
Oh.
I never get into discussions. Who's your favorite? That's the one question I'm always asked, and that's the one question I said, look. I like this, I like that. You know, every selection of every chazan isn't always the greatest. There's certain selections that I'm nuts about, of course, you know. And it's always good to get into, if you want to start an argument, all you have to do is say, well, I like this one. Oh, you like that? Are you crazy?
Yeah, I mean, the point is to learn from everyone's greatness.
Right.
That's the way I look at it. You know, this one was a great davener, that one was a great interpreter, that one was a great musician, this one was a great package all around. You know, it's the chachma is to learn from everyone.
Right. Okay, listen, any other closing thoughts about the world of Chazanut?
Yeah, definitely. The question that you asked me earlier... like where Chazanus is heading, it's a very difficult question. I mean, I think to put that question in perspective, we should ask ourselves, where was Chazanus heading, or where did it come from in the golden age of Chazanus? In the 30s, 40s, even earlier than that, 20s, I'm sure there were people then that were saying, oh, it's not the same. When it was in the village 50 years ago, we had this Bal Tfila or that Bal Tfila. Now it's all being, it's sounding more like arias than real davening. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there were discussions like that.
Sure.
And people are saying now that, oh, it's all Karbachian davening with an occasional twist of Nusach. Well, these conversations should take place, and they're it's good that people are talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But to paint with broad strokes and say, oh, Chazanus is gone, that is utterly false. It may be shifting, it may be becoming more, I don't want to use the word diluted, because it's not being diluted. This is what Chazanus is today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very interesting conversation, and I don't know if it's for now in an interview, but the good thing is that the conversations are taking place.
Yes.
And there are people who are safeguarding Chazonis. The people that are safeguarding the old school and old style Chazonis.
Mm-hmm.
Purists are out there.
Yes.
And people like myself who cater to a shul where you need to do more tunes in order to engage the congregation. Like Zevi, Chaim David, and myself, we constantly talk about this balance of where to insert some chazonis and where to hold and where to fold.
Oh, okay.
You know, and it's important to always keep something there to keep it alive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we try to do.
Yes. In one interview of the many that I've just recently done, I forgot who it was who said, classical music and opera have sort of gone through a cycle also. And people will say, classical music is dead. And compared, classical chazanes, people say it's dead. But just like there are the lovers of great classical music, and it will always be there, the same, I certainly believe, it will be true for chazanes. And everything goes in a cycle.
Absolutely.
I'm not ready to throw the towel in and say it's over. It's going through changes, and we'll see. We just have to keep
And you know something?
Going.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. No, we just have to keep trying. That's it.
Yeah. What I wanted to say also is that in Israel now, there is so much incredible talent there now. And there are so many places to learn. Like there's this Bet Sefer in Petach Tikva, there's the Naftali's Bet Sefer in Chazanut, there's Eliyafa, there's Sobol, there's so much happening in terms of education that I think the real resurgence of Chazanis is happening in Israel now.
Uh-huh.
And that's where the young talent is really, really learning it from the bottom up. And they're into blood and guts Chazanis. There's no real shift in where it's going there.
Uh-huh.
It's they're really preserving the blood and guts.
Gotcha. Well, that's very optimistic. And listen, I certainly appreciate you taking the time to share your thoughts with us. And
I
know you're busy with your growing family, which is so wonderful to see. And
thank you.
Keep up with the positive view, and I always look forward to hearing your davening, and I'll be there on September 8th. Once it's firmed up, those who receive the calendar will get all the information, and I look forward to seeing you. Regards to...
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Charlie. Thank you.
Okay.
Kol tov.
Kol tov. Okay, we've been listening to Yonki Lemmer, and now let's go to my friend, cantor Joel Kaplan. I'm very pleased to have with me on the phone my good friend, cantor Joel Kaplan, who is the chazan at Beth Shalom in Lawrence and is president emeritus of the Cantorial Council of America, among many other things. Shalom, how are you, Joel?
Terrific. Thank you, Charlie.
Okay. So, as I mentioned, during these 3 weeks, I'm using the opportunity to get the bios and the thoughts of many of those who are leaders in Chazanut, and you are one of them. So, let's start out by where you were born and where you were raised.
Sure. I was born in Borough Park, Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
Your listeners may know where that is. It was a different Borough Park. Actually, my mother was born in Borough Park and still lives there.
Uh-huh.
And my grandfather was a doctor in Borough Park.
Oh, really?
So it's like 100 years of Borough Park.
Uh-huh. You're an old-timer then.
Old-timer, right. I was raised in Borough Park. I went to Eitz Chaim, which is Hebron Suda of Borough Park, which is no longer with us. And I went to Yeshiva University High School, which in Boys, Brooklyn, which is no longer with us. And then I won't say where I went after that because I don't want to give anybody an evil eye.
Okay. How did you become interested in Chazanut?
So that's it. My father, Oliver Shalom, was a big fan, I suppose is the right word, of of Rabbi Shor in Bethel, in Borough Park. He actually, my father liked Chazanus, but not that wasn't what the prime attraction was. But he used to go to Bethel and Borough Park, and I would go along with him. And when I was a kid, about 9, 10, so it was Simchas Torah, and there was no Chazan and choir davening, so a number of us boys went up to the choir loft. Then we used there was a choir loft in Bethel, which is still there, but it's not used by the choir. And we may believe we were the choir. So one of the Balabatim said to my father, maybe you shouldn't just make believe that he's in the choir. Why don't you let him try out for the choir? Which my father did. And what happened was I tried out for the Ben Friedman Choir, and I was accepted, and then I ultimately became a soloist with Ben Friedman, and at the end of Chazan Koussevitzky's, he passed away in August 66, and I was a soloist then, and then with Paul Zim, when he took over, when he succeeded Chazan Koussevitzky.
Okay. So those were great days. You know, I think choirs are very important, and they play such a great role in laying the foundation for many who get involved with Chazanus later on.
Yeah, they say that, and I don't want to prejudge anything, but they say that the best Chazanim were those who sang in choirs as a child, because they heard pieces when they were young, and they were inculcated with music and Chazanus when they were young, and that's always a good thing.
Yes, it really becomes part of their soul. So then how did you progress into Chazanut?
So I continued to study. My voice started to change. I also sang on the Pirche record, Ani Mamin, Rochok Mishuasi, Zeh Haya, not because I was a member of was active in Pirche, but when they did those Pirche records, they were looking for new talent, and they saw who was in Bethel, and they recruited Yossi Sonneblick and myself, and we sang on those records, and that was also an interesting part of the of my growing up, to be on a record, and so then my voice started to change. I started to study music. Went to what's now called the Lucy Moses School, which is in Lincoln Center, which was then called the Hebrew Art School for Music and Dance. I didn't do the dance part, the music part, and studied piano and studied Chazanus with Tzvi Aroni, Chazan Tzvi Aroni Olav Shalom, and then studied voice privately. And then it was a different time. It was much easier, frankly, to get positions. And so when I was, I think, 19, I got my first position, Musaf Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
Where was that?
So that was interesting. I was in Young Israel of South Orange, which was Rabbi Zev Siegel, Olav Shalom.
Oh, yes.
Who was the rabbi of Young Israel of Newark.
Well, that's Nachum Siegel's dad.
That's right. Yes. So I met Nachum about over 40 years ago.
Really?
And, and I sang, that was my first Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And I remember my first faux pas, and Nachman and I laugh about it, which is Kol Nidre, Kol Nidre night. So I look in the Magzer, and the next thing is Baruch Hu. And I start with Baruch Hu. And before I get to God's name, and they're putting the Sifrei Torah back, and they're looking at me, and I'm figuring they're looking at me, I'm the Chazan. And then before I could finish, before I could get to God's name in Baruch Hu, Rabbi Zev Siegel says, Chazan, we will now have a sermon. and then when he finished his sermon, he said, we will now continue davening as a chazan is anxious to continue. So I never made that mistake again, Charlie.
Now, by the way, you said South Orange. Wasn't it in Newark, New Jersey?
Yes, he was in Newark.
Oh,
and
right.
I think it was the largest Orthodox shul in New Jersey. And then the riots broke out.
Yeah, 67 riots.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, just as an aside, I interviewed Rabbi Zev Siegel on one of my earlier programs,
right.
And I gave Nachum a copy of that, and he never knew that his dad had recorded that. It was about a 20-25 minute interview. He was very active in Jewish causes.
Oh, yeah. He was a quiet, fascinating man.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So then after that?
And then after that, so then the next year, I was Rosh Yom Kippur. I was in a congregation in Kings Bay in Sheepshead Bay.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, I got very fortunate. I was a chazan for the year, once a month, and all the Yom Tovim in Bradley Beach.
Bradley Beach, New Jersey?
Yeah, Bradley Beach, New Jersey.
Come on, you know, you just warm my heart. You know, I grew up in Newark, and all of Newark, the Jewish part of Newark that had 50,000 Jews,
right.
They used to go to Bradley Beach for the summer, and it was the most fantastic thing to be on the beach there,
because
It was all... you know, all the Jews from the great ghetto of Newark.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
What years were you in?
I was there just 1 year because I was in law school. I was about 39. This about let's see, probably in the 70s.
Okay,
middle 70s.
Okay,
and then I was fortunate again. I became the chazan in Ocean Avenue Jewish Center in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
For the next 10 years. And that was you know, also the, you know, Wonder Bread years for me. You get to daven really regularly. I daven twice a month at all the Yom Tovim, and it was just a wonderful experience. Wonderful Rabbi Berg, and wonderful congregants. And it was in Brooklyn. You know, it was New York City, and it was great to be. You know, in near home.
Yes, in the heartland.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Then, after Ocean Avenue?
Ocean Avenue, then we moved to Far Rockaway, my mm-hmm. family. We bought a house in Far Rockaway.
Uh-huh.
And I figured, well, that would be, who knows what would be. I was going back to Ocean Avenue the first year after we moved to Davin, but that wasn't really a long-term situation. And like Chazonim, I like, you know, like the daven in a big shul. So as a balabas, even as a balabas, so I went to the white shul when I wasn't davening in Brooklyn. And they, you know, they found out, they asked me to daven once, twice. And then at one point they said, would you like to become the chazan? Because there was no chazan, yearly chazan there. And I said, yeah, sure. Because for them it was a good idea because I didn't have to relocate.
Uh-huh.
I lived there already. And
yes.
For me it was terrific because... You know, great to continue, and White Shul is a very prestigious shul. It was wonderful to be with Rabbi Pelkovitz, Rabbi Flaum. It was a wonderful experience.
Hmm. Okay. That was up until what year?
That was until 12 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then 12 years ago, when my predecessor, Beth Shalom, Chazan Ehrlich, retired and... So then I tried out there, and I was fortunate again to be there for the last 12 years with the most wonderful rabbi that a chazan could ever expect to have, Rabbi Hain, and wonderful, wonderful balabatim. And then we continued the choir that we started in the White Shul.
Right.
In the White Shul, the last 3 years, we... what happened was every year we'd have a guest chazan, and 1 year Chazan Malavani was the guest chazan, and we decided we're going to make a makeshift choir, and we did, and it sort of piqued everyone's interest. So with the support of the shul, we made a more formal choir with men and kids.
Mm-hmm.
We asked Benny Amar to be the choir leader, and we... We did that for a few years, the last 3 years, and then we moved to Beth Shalom. Some of the fellows who were in the choir in the White Shul came with me, and we had new members from Beth Shalom and from the community. And then the last 7 years or so, we have Eric Freeman, Cant Eric Freeman,
mm-hmm.
as choir lead, and we're professional.
Yes.
Four-part harmonies and reading for music, and you've been to our concerts. It's
sure,
really,
sure. I love it, and we're friendly with Mel Young.
Mel Young,
and
sure.
His father-in-law was Jesse Aronson.
Exactly, so, right, Jesse Aronson, special inquiry.
I love to see the enthusiasm that they have. It looks like a sort of a brotherhood there.
Yes, it is. You hit it on the head. You know what it is? It's people that are professionals who are, successful in their careers, but they have one love that really they're able to indulge here, and he's very strict with them. Mm-hmm. Eric is,
yes,
and they. But you know what? They all know it's for the right cause, and it pays off in the sound. And it's just, I'm so proud of them, and they do a great job.
Well, you are fortunate. Not only is the rabbi committed, but the members of the shul, and
yes.
You've pulled something off that. Cantor's World never could. You run profitable annual concerts, and they're always the greatest. I mean,
thank you.
They're each year. You wonder how you're going to outdo the previous one.
That's true. You're right. We have two prime sponsors are Ben and Linda Brafman,
yes.
and Joel and Dr. Sherry Wiener,
uh-huh.
and then a whole bunch of other sponsors as well. But they're the prime sponsors. And we have Chasen Helfgott for the last number of years,
yes.
and we have other talent this year. We had Yanky Lemmer and Chaim David Burson, myself, and then the choir.
Right.
So it's just, and it's a good mix. Mm-hmm. It's not all heavy Chazonis, as we say, or classic Chazonis. It's
right.
a big mix of everything, and I think people really, really, really enjoy it because we had, as we usually have about 900 people at the concert.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, it's. I'm jealous.
Yeah,
well. Betty and I always talk about, can we come back someday? And somehow we'll figure it out.
We're rooting for you.
I am very honored that you've arranged for me to be at your shul Slichus evening, Motzi Shabbos.
Yes. For your presentation.
Presentation,
we look forward to it.
Yes, Yesla Rosenblatt. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it'll be an honor for me to be involved with your shul.
I mean, that shows you, the type of person that Rabbi Hain is. And I mentioned to him, we would try to figure out a slot that would be good, and then he thinks for a second, and he says, "Perfect, Prislichos," which always have a program,
uh-huh.
and it was just. It was just a perfect fit. The only downside of it, Charlie, is that you may have to hear me daven slichas.
Oh,
okay.
I'm looking forward to it. Now, tell us a little bit about your involvement with the Cantorial Council.
So I became a president when we were in Israel at our convention 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was president for 4 years, and then after that I became honorary president. The thrust of the CCA is to promote Nusach HaTfilah and Chazanut.
Mm-hmm.
I think that our focus, frankly, now has to be less on Chazanut and more on Nusach HaTfilah, because Cy Sim said an educated consumer is our best customer.
Yes.
And I think that rings true nowadays. I think that, unfortunately, there are less shuls that consider Nusach HaTfilah an essential part of the davening. It's not that they don't like it or they don't want it. It's that there's a vacuum of people who know it well enough to daven, and therefore we're losing what is a essential part of our tradition, of our Masorah. And I think our first step is to make sure that we don't lose it, and that as many people as we could reach out to, for them to know and to learn Nusach HaTfilah.
Uh-huh. I understand you're going on the internet.
Yes. So Bell School, which is part of Yeshiva University, which CCA is affiliated with, is now going to have some of their courses online.
Mm-hmm.
So. Unlike economics or biology, one could go to any number of school of colleges throughout the country to study. But when it comes to Chazonis or Nusach HaTfilah, there's only one place in the country, where you could, where an Orthodox chazan or if someone who's an Orthodox person could learn Nusach HaTefillah in a formal setting with people who are experts in their field. Chazan Malavani, Chazan Bernard Beer, Chazan Goffin, Cantor Eric Freeman, and therefore the fact that we could now, that Bells could now offer these courses to anybody in the country, in the world, in the world, is a big breakthrough.
Well, I certainly wish you and them great success in this, because, as you say, it's a matter of education. The whole idea of Chazonus itself is, I think, a process of education also.
Right, right. And I think that Nusach HaTefillah is the first step. It's not that it's the end of it. Is that if someone likes, if someone knows Nusach HaTefillah, then the elaboration of Nusach HaTefillah will be the next step, which is what Chazonus really is, or that'll appreciate the musicality of Chazonus. And that can't happen unless they, you know, are educated into what Nusach HaTefillah sounds like.
This week on my program, which is the first week of the 3 weeks, I interviewed Yossi Molavani, and at the end of that, I made the announcement, so I'm going to make the announcement as part of this also. I said, Yossi, we've been talking for years about doing a series of lectures on my show about Nusach HaTefillah, and I am... Now, since it's out there, I can't deny it, and you know, time has a way of running by. But it's one of the projects that Yossi and I are going to tackle.
Oh, that's great!
I don't know if it'll be like a series of 3 or 4 half-hour sessions, whatever it turns out to be, whatever is needed. It's something that I feel should be part of what I'm doing. I mean,
that's great.
Because I confess, I myself am not conversant with Nusach, and it's a selfish reason that I'm doing this, because I need to learn.
Good.
I understand it, but I don't know it.
Right, right. Well, there's no one, I think, in the world that would be a better teacher. He's not only an expert, Chazan Malavani, in Nusach HaTefillah, that goes without saying. But he's a great teacher. He's a very interesting teacher. He keeps your attention,
yes.
And I think that's a great choice.
And we're going to do it at his apartment where he's sitting at the piano, so it's going to be particularly good.
That's fantastic.
Well, Joel, where do you think Chazonus is going?
I think, you know, there was a little bit of a renaissance, or maybe a big bit of a renaissance when you and Benny were promoting, at Cantor's World, and that was wonderful, and we hope that that will happen again. But meanwhile, you know, I think in the Hasidic communities, I think there's a love of it, and there's a lot of talent there, I think that once we get the rest of the world, of the shul world, to appreciate Nusach HaTefillah, I think that we could then move on to them appreciating Chazanut. It's the language of our people, and when we need to pray, which we need to do all the time, particularly in this world, Charlie, you know that as much as more than anybody else,
yep.
From your other life, that we need to pray,
yes.
And that we pray from our heart with Chazonus, that's an important part of a Jew's life, and hopefully we'll be back. We'll be back.
Well, we have to keep fighting. That's for sure. And,
yes.
I'm not giving up, and you're not giving up. So that's
well, you're one of the reasons that, and I you're one of the reasons that we have a shot at coming back, because your love and passion for it, it's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable.
Thank you.
And number two, the fact that you use all your resources, you know, the show and the email blasts, you have the best, you know, the most passionate fan base also. That's a very important part of the rebirth of Chazonus.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. Everyone in the all the Chazanim really appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Joel. Well, thank you for sharing your thoughts with us, and I'm sure we'll be getting together soon. Certainly, Motzei Shabbos for Slichus, but I'm sure before then.
Great.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Great. Okay, that was Cantor Joel Kaplan, and let's go on for the next interview. This is Charlie Bernhardt, hoping that you're enjoying these interviews. Historic. To have with me on the phone a cantor, Naftali Herstik, the outstanding cantor from Israel, and we're going to hear much about his involvement with the TAKI, Tel Aviv Cantoral Institute. But shalom, how are you, Naftali?
Shalom, how are you?
Okay, thank you for taking this call. First of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, where you were born, where you were raised?
I was born in Hungary. After the Second World War, I was one of the first one born in 1947 in Hungary. I was there till the age of 3.5, and that's when we made Aliyah to Israel. And I'm a descendant of a very, very Chazanishe family for many generations. And all my uncles and great uncles, whoever was left alive after the Holocaust, they're all involved in Chazanut. Obviously, living in Tel Aviv, growing up in Tel Aviv, in the early statehood, when everybody came, I heard three Kusevitsky brothers many times. I heard Genchov and Vigoda and Malavsky. Anybody who was a name, we heard him in Tel Aviv.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I grew up, on top of the fact that Tel Aviv itself had some great Chazanim, Leibel Glantz, Yitzchak Eshel, Shabtai Ackerman, to name just a few.
Mm-hmm.
My father, Zichron Livrocha, was a Chazan in Tel Aviv. And that's how my brother, Chaim Eliezer, and myself, that's how we grew up. In early childhood, we started singing with our father. And subsequently, we became what they used to call in America Wunderkinderlach.
Yes.
And we were able to perform the most intricate, complicated Chazanische pieces at the age of 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Obviously, our route went from there into deeper Chazanas. After studying with my father, I studied with Leibel Glantz and Shlomo Ravitz. Some time I spent with Moshe Kusevitsky when he was here.
Hello? I'm always impressed with so many of the Chazanim who've told me they've studied with Ravitz.
Yeah, well, there's no wonder. No wonder, because he left such a mark on you. He sort of brought to you all these, you know, Chazanes pre-recording time.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly certain things that I heard from my great uncle started to make sense, you know. I didn't know where he took them from. And here we are, this is Birnbaum, and this is Pinya, this is, you know, all the names that I didn't hear before, suddenly he showed me on paper. They are compositions on paper.
I see.
Number one. Number two, he was such a, so particular on doing things, davening with absolutely correct Hebrew. He said, and I keep on saying it to my students, my pupils at the Tel Aviv Cantoral Institute, that now that Hebrew became a living language, we talk, we eat, whatever we do in Hebrew. I mean, there are even Yiddish Ganovim, you know, they speak in Hebrew. There's no reason why we should speak to the Almighty for everybody in broken Hebrew.
Uh-huh.
And that left a great mark on me.
Uh-huh.
I started very early, the years when my voice break broke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not broke. My voice, the age of puberty.
Yes, you had to rest it, yes.
That's right. Uh-huh. Those years I started conducting by my father
in
the north of Tel Aviv. I conducted the choir, and that's how we came. I became very, very sort of acquainted to so many great compositions, because when you have to conduct them, you have to know them properly. This is it. Pretty soon, there's one Shabbos. My father was the chazan in the great synagogue of northern Tel Aviv, not the one, not the famous Allenby Shul. That was the end of Dizengoff. But we lived on Rothschild, which is quite near the great synagogue. And when my father didn't, when he had off from his shul, we usually went to the great synagogue. And one Shabbat, Chazan Ungio Zichrono Livracha was sick, and they asked me to daven Musaf without me being prepared, with the choir. I stood there suddenly without thinking, and davened Musaf, or Shchedesh Benshin, without a rehearsal, sang compositions with the choir and so on. The result of that Shabbat was that on Sunday I got a call from the shul, where Ravitz was the conductor, the Bilu shul.
Mm-hmm.
Ravitz was there. He took me out to another room, started asking me about this and that and Nusach and so on, and he said, well, you'll get the job, but I want you to promise me that you're going to study with me. I said, well, sure I will.
By the way, how old were you at the time?
18. And so I davened with him, my first Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as an adult. I was 18, he was 78, I think. So there was 60 years between us.
Something, that's
great.
That's
it, and from there, you know, from there it was just on. I was davening Shabbosim all over the country, concerts and so on, while I was studying yeshiva and the university. And then I got a job in Akko, which was the nicest shul in Israel at the time. And from there I went to the Central Synagogue on the Carmel in Haifa. There people heard me, and the rest is history. I went to Finchley in London. One of the great temptations in London was the availability of culture and studying of the Royal College of Music, going to operas and listening to a lot of good singers, which I did.
Well, how long did you live in England?
7 years.
Uh-huh. And then you came back to Israel from there?
From there, I came to Jerusalem, and for 30 years I was the chief chazan of the Great Synagogue in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. That was quite a wonderful period in your life. Yeah.
I think that our davening here became the role model for all Orthodox chazanim over the years.
Well, tell us how you formed the cantorial school.
The cantorial school started by the need to not the need I would say almost to revive to give Chazanes somebody passes out and you have got to give him
artificial respiration,
breathing and
yes,
resurrect.
Yes.
We almost needed to resurrect Chazanes, and especially the whole thing of Nusach, that was completely getting almost none. And that's how we started the school. First, we started it in Jerusalem, underneath the Hal Shlomo.
What year was that?
From Chaim Wiener came and took us together with Shlomo Lahat, the great mayor of Tel Aviv at the time, who loved Chazanes.
I'm sorry, who was that mayor?
Hmm?
Who was the mayor?
Cheech, Shlomo Lahat.
Oh, okay, right.
And he took us to Tel Aviv, and the rest is history. Since 92, I became the leader of the school. And that's it.
Well, I certainly know that the new crop of young Chazanim, many of them came through your school, and and many of them were with choirs. I'm sure I can't name all of them, but you have a great list. Perhaps you'll mention a few of the young ones.
Baruch Hashem, listen, all the names, the great names of the young generation, almost all of them in New York or in America are graduates of the school. There's one or two Yankee Lemmer and what's his name? Yosef Stark, Yaakov Yosef Stark, who didn't study here, but all the rest of them are graduates of the Tel Aviv Cantor Institute.
Now, you mentioned Chaim Wiener. Have you seen the new YouTubes that he put out?
Sure. I was trying to convince him for years. Don't forget, eventually, that's how God leads the world. We became a chotanim. You know, my son Etanel, who doesn't?
Yes, of course.
Married his daughter.
But
I spent a lot of time with Chaim. I knew about all this because I took part in it myself.
Uh-huh.
And I tried to convince him. It's a big job because all those things were recorded in a different sort of media than today.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't easy to sort of change it to today's media. But he agreed to do it, and it's a great gift for the world.
No question about it. It's very exciting. I'm publicizing it on my calendar and so forth. By the way, I just got a call from someone who told me this past Shabbos, Netanel had over 1,000 people. Of course, that's not unusual, but I don't know where they put 1,000 people in the Hampton Shul. But
No, that's very. Have you ever been there?
Of course, it's like a bar mitzvah.
No, it's not. The whole thing is that the shul is only so big.
Uh-huh.
Both sides, you know.
Yeah, they open
the lawn,
right?
Under the canopy.
Yes.
You sit hundreds of people.
Yes, I know. It's amazing.
This is it.
I'll be interviewing Netanel in another day or so. So I know you must be very proud of Netanel and the way he's progressed.
I am because I feel, first of all, I'm proud because he's such a wonderful mensch and a great chazan, a great davener. But apart from that, I feel that he's really following, he's a part of me, he's sort of following me.
Uh-huh.
And I really am proud of that.
Do you have other children who are involved with music?
Oh, sure. First of all, my daughters could teach in the school if I asked them to.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Because they all know the Nusach very well. I'll tell you a little story. One of my daughters, the younger one, her husband, she gave birth just a few days before Yom Kippur. And so they, in the yeshuva where they live, in Elazar, next to Efrat, they found out that because of that, they'll have to stay in Elazar and not come to me, to the great synagogue. So they came over and they said, Mati, you've got a very nice voice. We need you. Now that you are here, you can't get out of that. You're going to daven kol nidre and the whole first night. He said, I never done that. I don't know. So. And then my daughter from the, from the bedroom says, don't you worry, he'll be ready, he'll do it.
That's great.
She told him the whole geshef.
Oh, wow.
But the famous Chazan to teach, who's a fantastic teacher in the school, is my son Shraga.
Shraga?
Shraga, yeah.
Yes.
Who is older than Netanel. He didn't want to leave the country. He had an offer when he was 20, I don't know how many years old, 24. They wanted him in Marble Arch in London. they gave him a tremendous offer, but he said he doesn't want to leave Israel.
And,
so that's how it is. So he davened Yom Noaim, actually, last year. He davened in New York, and this year again, the same place.
Got it. Now, is Srulik your nephew?
Is that?
Srulik.
Repeat the question.
Srulik. Srulik Hrstik, isn't he a nephew of yours?
Srulik?
Yes.
Sure, that's my brother Chaim Eliezer's son. Sure he is.
Is he continuing with Chazanis at all?
He doubles very nicely. He's more into the Hasidic stuff, you know. He's a very popular singer, and but his own choir, a Hasidic choir and orchestra. But Yom Noaim, he doubles, yes. He doubles, actually, I think he doubles with Reuven Pinsky. He doubles in the Woodmere.
Oh, here in the States. Oh, wow.
No, only Rosh Hashanah and Kippur.
I see. Now, I know somewhat the answer to this, but where do you think Chazanis is going?
Whoa, that's a very, very, very difficult question. Look, I'm not ready to eulogize, because if you come to Israel, you see what goes on in the school or in the concerts of the school or the concerts of Dr. Sobol or others.
Yes.
You see full houses. I'm talking about the Chala Tarbut, 2,800 seats.
I was there. I was there 3-4 weeks ago with Adler and Svi Weiss and Simon Cohen and others. It was a full, packed.
Packed, sure.
Yes.
And that's how it is. I mean, not only in Tel Aviv. We gave concerts in Hadera. We gave concerts in Ashdod, in Ashkelon, in Tel Aviv, in where you know. And Jerusalem, it's always full.
Mm-hmm.
And now there is a new crowd that is those who came from Russia and sort of start to have a certain yearning to that sound.
Uh-huh.
Especially when that sound is coming with a very intelligent, lovely harmony, like you know what we can... in the Tel Aviv Cantor Institute deliver.
Yes.
The choir, the chazanim.
Now, you used
and
to...
And I've got Raymond Goldstein with the instruments, so it is really tremendous evenings, and you don't have to have such a huge place like Echala Tarbut. But there are very nice halls of 800, 750 seats, all over the country, and we like to perform there, because that way we go out to Israel and not only to Tel Aviv.
You used to bring the choir to the States. I always enjoyed the choir.
You were the first who brought us. You and Benny.
They were wonderful. they were so wonderful, and I love choirs. Naftali, I believe that we, you know, the choir, when you read about the biographies of the great cantors, that they all started in choirs, of course at a young, a very young age, but you were
right.
So great at putting choirs together also, which I miss.
Yeah, well, listen, I believe that Hirschman would not have been so mellifluous, so musical. The same goes for Moshe Kosovitsky, who sang for years in the choir. I mean, and who didn't? I mean, you can hear those who really sang in choirs for years, because there is a different, something comes through much more musical than the normal just chazonas.
Yes. You know, it's
you know, Moshe Stern at the time had his own choir with the family. You know, he was a choir boy for his father, and you can hear that too. There's a certain musicality, musicianship, delivery that you get only when you are serving as a chorister in a shul.
Yes. Yeah.
And we do that all the time in the school. We go out for Shabbatot as well.
Aha. Uh-huh. Throughout the land of Israel. And do you go to Europe also?
Yeah. It's not an easy undertaking, because there's always somebody, you know, we still do some support from the government. But, you know, the shul is not a concert place, that, you know.
Right.
But slowly, slowly we are getting there.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Baruch Hashem.
By the way...
And listen, I mean, to mention just a few names in New York, I mean, Netanel, not to mention Helvgott, not to mention Chaim David Berzin, not...
Sure, Yanki Lemmer and
Ozzy
Schwartz.
Ozzy Schwartz.
Of course, and you mentioned Stark and Zevi Muller, yeah. And of course, Yossi Malavani.
No, Malavani is not he's older than me.
Yes,
he's not a graduate of the television.
Of course. By the way, you sound great, and I know you went through a crisis about a year ago, and I'm very pleased that you've come through it with flying colors, from what I understand.
Listen, Baruch Hashem, I really feel 20 years younger than I felt a year ago.
Uh-huh.
I was really sick. Both my kidneys gave up, and they were failing for quite a time. I was... I had to have treatment during the week, 2-3 times, sometimes 4 times a week. And that was not easy at all.
Mm-hmm.
But Baruch Hashem, I had a kidney donation from somebody who you met my wife Elka.
Yes.
That Baruch Hashem had the courage, had the love, and had the health to donate a kidney to me.
Interesting.
And now I feel, 4 months after the operation, I was standing again in the Great Synagogue in Moscow, davening with the choir, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which is like a miracle.
Yes, it's fantastic.
It is fantastic. Like a miracle. Yeah.
Well, Naftali, I certainly wish you many more years of good health and success in your endeavor of keeping Chazanus alive, and we have to keep trying. That's for sure.
Yeah, listen. You asked me where Chazanus goes. When I was in London 30 odd years ago, I'm making a differentiation between Chazanus and opera.
Mm-hmm.
But that question was hanging in the air. What's going to become of the opera? And look what happened. I think that there's so many youngsters today who go for such a beautiful tradition that we have, such a beautiful musical, cultural tradition, that I think that it will pick up again. And then, listen, you can sing Yeah Boy 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 and lots of maybe many other things. But when it comes to words, to express a prayer properly, it's very hard to beat a great chazan.
For sure.
Or a good chazan.
For sure. Well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us, and I look forward to seeing you in Haaretz, and perhaps you'll be coming here. Look forward to seeing you.
Yeah. And you mentioned... that last Shabbat in the Hamptons.
Yes.
I mean, look, he's my son, Netanel, but look what happens.
Yes. Yeah.
And there is a rabbi, obviously, who does a great job. Obviously.
Yes, of course. One
and
of the problems.
He encourages him to do what he does.
Yeah, well,
encourages him to do what he does.
Schneier, the son, has always been a fan of Chazanus. By the way, he listened to my radio show 20-25 years ago, so he's not a Johnny come lately. He loves Chazanus, and we have to find rabbis who, if a rabbi doesn't like Chazanus, it's an uphill battle. We have to train the rabbis, I think.
That's right. We have to train the rabbis. Yes. Some places we've got to to change the president and take a
the board. Well, someone told me that if there was a choice between a rabbi and a cantor and you could only afford one, the halacha says you should have a cantor unless the rabbi happens to be a gedolim.
Look, you remember, we all remember very well David Bagley.
Yes.
Zichrono Livracha.
Yes.
David Bagley. And, you know, when he was not so well anymore, and it was hard for him to govern, they offered him to be the Rav of the Shul.
Really?
But, you know, he kept governing as well. So I said to him, David, no, sof kol sof, you, the chazan agrees with the gabbai. He says, I'm not so sure.
Anyway.
What a man he was. Yes. What a chazan.
Yes. Yes. Well, you've been at the forefront, and you've been involved with all of the greats of.
Could you please speak up?
You've been involved with all the greats.
Oh yeah, sure. No, but you know, the one thing that I would like to teach the young ones, something that I learned from him once. He was not old yet at all. He was in his 50s. He came here and he said these words, you know, you've got to treat the old Chazanim like if they were your grandfathers, your great uncles, because your Yerusha comes from them.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to give them covered and you've got to look after them. And you know, what I wanted to say is that I have the zechut of calling when he was really sick already and he was in the old age home. I called him up every 2 weeks before Shabbos. And you know what? Never mind what he did to him. There was not even once when he didn't leave me with a wonderful dvar Torah.
Interesting.
But the point is that when the Chazanim are getting older, all their disciples should remember what they did for them.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, thanks again for sharing your thoughts with us, Naftali, and to be continued. Shalom.
Hello?
Shalom.
Shalom and all the best, and thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you and talking to you, through you, to your audience.
Well,
and keep on doing the great job that you do. I mean, if anybody is having thought about Chazanis, it must be you.
Thank you.
All the best.
Okay.
And I wish you, Bemet, good life, healthy life, kol tov.
Shalom. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.